woke up this morning with the sundown shining in him.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
It's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know... That's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut through the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown.
Well, welcome back to Action Jack. I'm Tom Holly, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures up 20.75. Dow futures up 155. NASDAQ futures up 74. Oil up 80 cents. 10-year yield 3.2. Mortgage applications dropped to 4-year low as interest rates hit 8-year high. So, all kinds of stuff happened. Plus, we had this little thing called this election yesterday, and I have... I'd say about as mixed of feelings and all kinds of opinions on this. Kevin, how are you, buddy?
Oh, I'm good. If you got all the opinions and mixed feelings, let's just let me sit back and listen.
Well, I mean, it's so I talk about if Spock and Kirk are playing chess. How many levels are there on these elections? It's pretty scary. However much you look and whatever district you're in, it's about as uneven a game as you can find, isn't it, Kevin? I mean, it's. Some areas were hotbeds, other areas weren't. Some place get out the vote would have helped. In our area, if you get out the vote rally, all would have done is made more people at the Tripoli drinking afterward, wondering who the hell they voted for because there was nobody to vote for.
Yeah, but Nick would have been happy about that. So.
Yes, he would have been happy about that. So that part was good. I after watching all the stuff real quickly in my little district, in Maddie Weber's district, It's nothing short of disgusting. There's no one to vote for. All you hear if Trump and Obama were to come through our hood and sign up 5,000 people, what a waste of time. When you see all the stuff happening countrywide, and a lot of stuff did, which we'll talk about. How many districts do you think really made a difference on one side or another? Kevin, 10%, 12?
Well, that's a good question. How many flipped is your question?
Well, or were tightly fought, where you felt like you really needed to go down the block, you know? Well, just an example.
Because as it turned out, you know, where I live, nothing was close, even though they were considered close, all along, looking at the Indiana side of the border, Braun won comfortably, and Walorski won comfortably. So, those were supposedly close races. Although, what I got from people who know about it was, no, it's really not from their internals. And on my side, Fred Upton was going to win re-election like he has for about the last 20, 30 years, something like that. And that was never going to change. And I didn't think John James was going to win, which is too bad because, the Senate seat, I didn't think he was going to take it away from Debbie Stabenow. What was interesting in his race was that, he lost, I think, 5 or 6 points he lost by. He was down 30 about 6 weeks ago. So, he made a lot of inroads and, I don't know if Trump could have made a difference, but Trump really didn't pay much attention to Michigan this time around. But he paid a lot of attention to Indiana, and Braun won by 9-10 points, something like that. He paid a lot of attention to Tennessee. Blackburn won, and I think that's kind of the news, is while the Democrats took back the House, on the Republican side, they now have they're probably going to wind up with 55 senators.
Well, they had a dramatic. This was a not often told tale from the last election, when the Democrats didn't take the Senate, because out of the 35 people that run every time, or 34 or whatever the hell it is, last time the Democrats had like 20 some of those seats were Democrats starting out. So for them to have lost the Senate was a huge shellacking. Now yesterday, out of the 33 or 34 seats in play, 20 some of them were Republicans. So that the Democrats really had to take, they had to win like all theirs plus a bunch of the other side to take, well, a few of the other side, which is hard to do when you're right facing that kind of numbers. Now the
lost a lot of theirs. You know, they lost. What was it?
Indiana,
South Dakota, North Dakota, where Heidi Heitkamp is. They lost Missouri, Claire McCaskill. Despite her late commercial push, where she said, "I'm not one of those crazy Democrats" in her commercials. Apparently, the voters of Missouri decided, "Yes, she is," and I'm tongue in cheek on that. But McCaskill's been around there for a long time, and she got unseated, which was a big.
Well, the guy from Indiana.
In Indiana, they lost Donnelly's seat.
So the Republicans won, but
Donnelly
they lost.
Got his seat because they put Murdoch up 6 years ago, who was just an awful, awful candidate. Donnelly isn't really, he's not typical of Indiana.
Oh, he's a moderate and essentially.
He's not a moderate, Tom.
His
record doesn't say moderate.
He's bent as far as he could for the state, and basically most Indiana is like southern Alabama, to be perfectly blunt. I mean, it's about as redneck a state as you're going to find in the north, I would say. Especially
Parts of it are, Tom, but Indianapolis is pretty cosmopolitan.
Yeah, well, I didn't say everybody,
but by far that area is a disproportionate part of the population.
But they also but Indiana also gave us Frank, so it's capable of going both ways, shall we say? But it's a very uneven process. I mean, to tell you how disgusting mine was, Kevin, it doesn't get any worse than this. State senator, some lady from a hood nowhere near mine, unopposed. Some guy, actually, they were both ladies, weren't they? State senator and state rep. Some lady, never met, never go anywhere near my place, all out in the hood in the west side. Tony Preckwinkle, unopposed, even though she's running for mayor, which is, to me, disgusting. If you're gonna run for mayor, quit. Mendoza, she at least had an opposition as the comptroller.
She won big, though.
And she won big. Now she's running for mayor. So we've got two jobs for the next year. The two people aren't even gonna be there because they're gonna be on the campaign.
They're not gonna be there, and they're hoping not to be there very long.
Right.
Be there at all.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then we had the Metropolitan Sanitary District people. In when I was in high school, they started the deep tunnel. Been the biggest waste of, I don't know about a waste, but the longest running public works project in the history of probably the world. Maybe the Romans were further in the aqueducts, and still, when it rains, there's turds floating in the Chicago River. So whoever's in there isn't doing a very good job. Let's just say that. So there's nine people running for those three spots. There's a green, come on, I'm voting for this stuff going, what am I doing? Then there was, how many pages of judges, man? Three?
There's a lot of judges.
None of whom I knew who the hell they were.
I voted no on all of them.
Well, so what do you do? For the application, or let's see, for the vacancy, because Kevin O'Neill croaked, Maddie Weber unopposed. What is it even doing on the ballot, Kevin? What are you supposed to do? You can't vote no on that one. You vote Maddie Weber or you don't vote anything.
More importantly, though, Chief, what did you vote on straws?
Straws. Oh, I voted no on straws. Let's get rid of the straws.
I voted, we can keep the straws.
Right, you don't care about fish eating straws and dying.
I do, but I also don't think we have to ban straws.
Why don't we introduce the straws where all the Asian carp are?
I don't even use straws, and for some reason I just couldn't ban straws.
Well, at least they have paper straws.
Can we just make a better straw?
We should be able to make one that degrades, you would think.
There we go. I don't think we have to ban straws.
But there were about 10 of those things. And how is it, out of curiosity, because I did know some civics, and now I'm wondering, the only spot on the entire ballot, Kevin, that you could write somebody in was for governor. No other spot can you write anybody in. Why is that?
I don't know, because you're getting what you deserve when you put those kind of candidates up. So
no, I'm saying...
Why should you get to choose a rational?
But, I mean, if you would have put... I think you might have been able to write in
Freckwinkle. There was like three... I think what Chief's saying, Kevin, is that on the actual card, for even though, you know, there was 25, whatever, 50 people that you were voting for...
You know, there was two huge cards.
There was only three races where they actually had a slot where you could write... Actually just write somebody in. For some reason, I don't know why. That wasn't an option for everyone.
It wasn't an option for Quigley's spot either, was it?
I think it was. I think it was for the governor's spot, for Quigley, and for Preckwinkle.
Okay, so for the three top spots,
yes, the three top spots, you had an option to just write somebody in. The other ones, there wasn't even a place to write in. You either
Oh, that's too bad, because it would be fun not just to write in, but to write in the same person for every job.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, the judge was, like I said, for this vacancy, and there was a whole page of that. There had to be 40 of them. For somebody's vacancy, vote for Joe, or else. I mean, why waste the paper? I you know, whatever. I mean, how could Joe ever lose? How big of a schmuck does he have to be? What if he gets one vote, Kevin? Is he still in? If everybody else leaves it blank, except one voter, does he get in? I don't even know what the rules are on that.
So I have a question for I have a question.
Well, here's real quick. The important part here is that Michigan also voted to legalize marijuana for recreational use, and for that, I only have to say, oh wow, man.
Yeah, wow. Hey, dude. Wow, man.
I was not surprised by that result either. But in North Dakota, it got voted down. I wasn't surprised by that either. I have a question for you guys. I don't know why I don't really know the answer to this, but does it matter that the Democrats gained a bunch of governor seats? Does that even mean anything?
Sure. Does it matter nationally, and does it matter to you? No, but I think it matters to the people in those states a lot. And it may, there may be more of what you would call a wave there than you'd call in the House. So that could be a better gauge, but it's also we've sort of talked about this a little bit over the last week. The amount of outside money coming into races, it's one thing when an outside money comes in for a Senate race. I at least sort of understand that has national implications. But there is a lot of outside money coming into governor's races too.
You're right, Kevin. What does it say?
I guess that's my question: is what is the benefit nationally that would cause somebody to donate to a governor outside of their state?
Well, for instance, the Pelosi PAC was big in Wisconsin going after Scott Walker, because there it's not just going after Walker himself, but it's saying there's an ideology there that must be crushed.
Well, it's there's an ideology the other way, that this whole Wisconsin thing, and I should have been up and really dug into it this morning, but I was looking at it last night. Not only did Wisconsin essentially put Trump in office, it's been this Republican retro sweep for the governor, the senator, and the and what's his name was the head of the House, for God's sake. And
ever since 2010, although they have, it's not like they've never had people. Tommy Thompson had a long run
as
governor there, and he was pretty successful.
Well, and then a couple weeks ago, I read this poll, and again, I've been asking people, not just giving my opinion. All I'm saying is what I know about statistics. I wouldn't want to be a pollster today. I mean, I guess you could be a pollster. You could come up with fake polls like we come fake news.
Although they did get it right this time. They basically said that the Republicans were going to hold on to the Senate and maybe gain a couple spots. The Democrats were going to take the House, which they did. I think the polls were pretty much right this time.
Well, this particular poll that I read 3 weeks ago, when they were talking about the effects of the tariffs in Wisconsin, which have been pretty hard hit, and a lot of the people with the soybeans and all the other stuff in that area, the poll's conclusion was that, now this is something, if you ask people, this is how you gotta be real careful with the questions. If you know, say for instance, Kevin's a real right winger and he loves Trump and blah blah blah, and I'm not saying he is, and you go interview him and you say, well, you're taking a little hit on your soybean crop today, Mr. O'Neill, but is that going to change your politics? Hell no, I'll take one for the team. The man's doing the job right. He's screwing those Chinese, blah, 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 blah. This poll basically said there was no change. In fact, the leaning toward Trump was even higher. And yet yesterday proved that poll stunk. I mean, I don't know why people changed it, but they did about the biggest flip as you're going to find. So I'm going to say whoever conducted that poll either had an agenda or didn't do a very good job. You know, am I right, Kevin? I mean, I'm not saying right or wrong. Say whatever, wherever that, because interviewing people, or whatever they did, however they asked the questions, they didn't do a very good job in that particular state. Now, in other states, turned the other way.
But Matt is right that they got the trends about right. What they didn't get was degrees. You know, so for instance, you know, we went into the Indiana Senate race with, you know, too close to call, and one that wind up being 9-10 points. You know, with the Tennessee race, too close to call. Blackburn won by double digits. You know, in the other direction, Cruz had pulled out by 9 points or so in the polls, and it wound up being closer than that. And, you know, in part because people just don't like Ted Cruz, you know, him personally,
right.
even if they're conservatives, which made him a very beatable candidate.
Did he have a primary challenger, Kevin, that was close or no?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't either.
Now, here's what I really think the significance of the election is, and that is that the Senate is now a Murkowski-proof majority. If there is a Supreme Court opening in the next 2 years, you're looking at somebody like Amy Coney Barrett, who wouldn't have, you know, been able to get through on such a close vote this last time around, because Murkowski certainly would have voted against her, and what's her name from Maine might have as well.
Well, but you also have to look at the next time through, and this is what's weird about the Senate, because the Senate is, you would think that with the law of numbers, that for every, when the Senate essentially was 50-50, you would think that every election, say there's 33 people or 34, that it'd be roughly 17-17 Democrat-Republican. And yet the last two have not landed that way at all. So now the next election is going to be an awful lot more Republican seats essentially in play. So
right, but that's not coming until 2 years from now. That's why I said if there's a Supreme Court opening in the next 2 years, that's what you can expect.
But I looked at the numbers on the first time I looked at the numbers on the Senate race 6 months ago. I said they're not going to take the Senate back. They'll be lucky to keep it the way it is, and they weren't. But the numbers were just to get them. It would have to have been some. Yet the interesting part
it would have had to be a real wave election.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
The kind of election like 2010 was, where they lost. You know, the Democrats lost something like 63, I think, was the number of seats they lost in the House, and then they lost state houses, and they lost Senate seats. It would have had to have been a genuine wave election,
right? And this one really wasn't. But it's a different program. You look at the House; it's so different. Some of the areas, I'm stunned. One of the guys I was listening to, I don't know, I was listening to every station last night, whichever one. This guy was absolutely stunned that this young lady, Democrat, won a district in Oklahoma City County that has not been a Democrat for her, and she looks like she's in her 30s. She's real brown. Where else she went to school? The guy says she came out of nowhere and nailed this guy. I mean, there's individual stuff that's happening. I'm sure there's a few young Republicans that won somewhere, too, that nobody thought were going to. But if you look at some of the details, the Republicans lost not just people. They lost three chairmanships, which is a lot. I mean, Peter Raskin got thumped, and there's two other chairmanships. And, you know, Kevin, this thing I said yesterday, I have a chance to look at it. I know you were doing class, but I'm stunned at every one of these guys, and I'm looking at Democrat and Republican. And I'm gonna give an editorial comment. This sucks. Every single one of these people, it's like 5-10% small people contribution, somewhere between 30-45 of large individual, and the rest is PAC. And you know what, Kevin? I honestly think that blows across party lines everywhere. Look at Peter.
Well, and you know what? Here's the thing: is most PACs, when you look at the PAC money and you look at the name of the PAC, it it sounds, you know, somewhat benign. The important part to do with that is, if, you know, and I've always been an advocate of this, is you need to find out who's behind it. You need to find out where the money is. And, you know, we already know we're not going to have the opportunity to curtail any of that money coming in. It's protected speech, and we have a Supreme Court decision that says so. So it's not going to happen. But what could happen, what I think is a really reasonable thing to require, is that before you cash the check, you have to disclose the donor. You know, that's part of the process. We have technology now to do this on a 90-day lag or anything like that. That says, well, yeah, we'll get to disclosing the donors. It is just nonsense. This needs to be disclosed in real time so that people like you and me can actually go on somebody's website and say, who is behind this candidate?
What is it now? It's 90 days.
I don't know what the number is, but there's a reporting cycle where you have to do it. And I'm sorry, we live in an age of real-time technology, so this should not be difficult to do. And if anybody claims that it's some kind of burden, that's fine. Just don't cash the check then. Don't cash the check until you log the donor.
Well, here's specifically what I'm looking at here, and everybody's sort of different, but here's Peter Raskin. Raised $6.3 million, spent $5.7 million. He's now cash on hand. He's got $800,000 left, and he lost, okay? Small contributions, $332,000. Large individuals, $3 million. PAC, $3 million. So that's where he is. No self-financing at all, okay? Now, here's a guy running against him, Sean Caston, who ended up winning. What do these guys make a year? Two and a quarter, something like that? $250,000? He raised $5.3 million, spent $4.1 million. He's got $1.2 million left. Small individuals, $967,000. So it's 18%. That's high. Where Raskin is only 5. Large individual contributions, 3.4 million, $63 million. Who the hell that is? So that's $7 million of large individual contributions in that one district. Who the hell are these people, Kevin? It's not you and me and Maddie, but this guy's only got $297,000 in PAC contributions. Evidently, the Democratic Party decided he wasn't going to win and dusted him. So, here's a guy. If you actually look at the numbers, he's not beholden to any of these PACs, which I don't even know who the guy is, but I like that about him right now. Now, as to who the large individuals are, that I don't know. Self-financing, $630,000 for a job that pays a third of that. And he's only got 2 years, so he's only going to make back like $450,000 of the $630,000 he put in, right? But then you go to the 8th district here, and I can't pronounce this guy's name. Manny's gonna have to help me. This is spectacular. This guy, whoever the hell he even is, Raja. I don't know. It's like 15 letters here. I'll take a stab at it. Krishnamurthy.
That's what I was gonna say. Krishnamurthy or Krishnamurthy.
He spends
his opponent.
It starts with a K.
Yeah, it starts with a K. His
Rajna K. Man, that's his name.
Or you
could always go with the Buddy Ryan approach. He had a Samoan on his team when he was in Philadelphia, and he couldn't pronounce his name, so he just called him Smith. It was Junior something or other. He just always referred to him as Junior Smith.
All right, so here's the dude.
His opponent, by the way, also has a weird name.
So what is so special about this guy? He raises $5 million, and he's health professionals, $571,000. Lawyers, $383,000. Kirkland Ellis gave him $115,000. The list reads like every single hospital had to give this guy money. Why? What is so special about this dude? You know what's even more bizarre?
What committees?
Well, then there's what's her name? Bobby Steele? Robin. Who's the number two district here? You read this and it's
Kelly won the two district.
Yeah, okay.
Merkel.
All right, so she's got.
That was the biggest blowout of them all. Kelly, okay, so, 81% to 19.
All right, so let me get this straight.
Or one of them, anyway.
She raises $880,000. She spends $840,000. And she still got cash on hand of $434,000. The other guy, his numbers are too small even to report. How do you spend $839,000 when you're essentially unopposed?
You don't. You stash it away for when you
eventually
she
wasn't on a poll. Said she spent it.
You may, maybe you want to run for the next who spent it.
Yeah, she spent it.
She wasn't unopposed.
Well, but the other guy, he didn't have any dough.
Well, yeah, but he Matt, still ran.
Go ahead, Matt.
He still ran against her.
Well, okay, so
she wasn't unopposed.
Here's Dan Lipinski. Here's a good one. He raises $1.5 million, spends $2.3 million. His opponent's got $40,000. What does this guy have to spend $2.3 million to beat a guy with $40,000 for? I mean, what?
Hey, you travel the state, you have to stay in a nice place. He's the candidate. It's important that he get a good night's rest. And if that happens to be in four-star hotels, you know, so be it.
I mean, Kevin, as much as we love the
plus
system.
Plus people, you know, plus the entourage needs a place to stay.
You know what? I got to get myself an entourage. What do those guys cost to be in an entourage? You can't have women there anymore because then there's...
What do you think Thomas is?
He was when he lived downstairs. S&P futures up 24, Dow futures up 188, NASDAQ up 90. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of HomeSource Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now.
Hello, everyone. Thanks, Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen. I'm on the board. Mr. Kevin O'Neill. Big rally going on this morning. Coming right on the heels of yesterday. Boy, yesterday was such a slow day. Everybody was off voting, I guess, but it was slow. But we're on the positive side. We're positive again this morning. S&P futures up 24. Dow futures up 180. NASDAQ futures up 83. We're getting a pretty good bounce back from the sell-off a couple weeks ago and or last week. We'll see if we keep going or if we turn south again. I don't know if we're going to retest. We might just stay here. We might flatten out. Who knows? 10-year yield 3.20. Oil up 69 cents over in Europe. We're to the upside pretty solid. DAX up 125, 1.1%. I guess they're happy we didn't blow up over here or something. FTSE up 87, 1.2. CAC around up 70, 1.4. And maybe that the system still works, and I think it actually does. Although we're going to talk a little bit about some spots where we're a little bit lacking. Nikkei down 61.3%. Shanghai down 18.7%. 26.41, the whole number. The Hang Seng up 26. Let's call that one flat because they're real slow over there today. Well, West Texas up 69 cents. That's a full 1%. Brent up $1.11. Spread is now $10.34. Natural gas 3.53. RBAB 1.69. Manny, go fill up the jalopy. Gold up $7, $1,233. Silver up 16 cents, so big moves up there. I don't know why people all of a sudden think we're getting some inflation, but maybe they do. Manny, what do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports?
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We're off to a pretty good start so far on the Kennedy and Edens. No issues on the Eisenhower. Stevenson traffic building, but no issues to report. Same with the Southside expressways. Out in the southwestern burbs near Bolingbrook, we do now have a crash northbound I-55 just before Route 53. That's causing stop-and-go traffic out in the southwestern burbs, so keep that in mind. But everything else is looking good out there. Weather today, it's going to be cold, and it's going to be windy, so it's going to feel even colder than the actual temperatures suggest. Partly cloudy skies, a high of 43 degrees, wind chills in the low 30s.
Throw a little rain or sleet in the mix, will you? Come here.
We should stay relatively dry today, unlike the last few days, so that'll be nice. But it'll be cold and windy, and a high of just 43. Right now, it is overcast and 35 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 82 today. Right now, it's clear and 59. In sports, the Blackhawks fired head coach Joel Quenneville yesterday morning, shortly after the show yesterday.
Did they slip the fire notice under his door on Christmas Eve a la Billy Ray or what?
Very classic to do on election day when no one's really paying attention to sports. Yeah. Three Stanley Cups. He'd been with the team since 2008. He's the second all-time winningest coach in NHL history.
It's the world's best ties.
But he is out after 15 games. The Blackhawks off to a tough start, losing five in a row. And they have just 15 points through 15 games. Their worst start since 2010-2011. He will be replaced by, they promoted their AHL coach, Jeremy Colliton, age 33, the youngest head coach in the NHL. So he will begin tomorrow night as the Blackhawks host Carolina. I will be at that game, my first Blackhawks game of the year.
How do you think this went? Joe, what's going on? A team sucks. Well, you traded away all the good players, and these young guys aren't ready. What do you expect? So you're saying it's my fault? I didn't say that. What I said was we don't have as good a team. We got maybe one all-star, Patrick Kane, who used to have seven. You're fired. Is that about it?
Well, that could be pretty close. NBA basketball, Bulls were off last night. Suns lost to Brooklyn 104-82. And college hoops tipped off last night. Loyola was a winner, as was Notre Dame. Notre Dame beat UIC 84-67. Chief.
Two observations I've had on the, well, three really, and it, the fact is, what happened yesterday in America is what we all, I think what we all love about the place with all its warts. The fact is, with all this mess, we can still do something like this, without any kind of really issues, although there are some issues. It is amazing, Kevin, when you talk about, and again, we talked about the Electoral College and stuff ad nauseum, but if all of a sudden 15% of the people in every district decide to rise up, and I'm not saying which side or the other, and get themselves ready to vote and start doing all their homework and so forth, the influence you can have is amazingly uneven. I mean, it wouldn't have helped anybody in our district other than I would have had to wait in line instead of walk right up. I mean, it's the places that are in play or not in play, but two things are bizarre, and you're going to disagree with me on this, and I think our president, his tactics, bureaucrats being some the way they, I know the way they are, I think he's seriously intimidated a lot of people in government, including law enforcement. And I'm stunned by two things. That totally disgusting, ad about the migrants, the people coming up, was one of the worst things I've ever seen on TV. And Fox and two other places played it till Monday night and decided to pull it. Well, give me a friggin' break. Why would you ever put it on in the first place? The other one was, I don't know if you caught this one yesterday, because I know you were busy with classes, but somewhere in the bowels of law enforcement, they came up with 115 sites on Facebook, and I don't even know what side they were pushing or not the other, that they thought were coming from overseas and were somehow messing up the election, and they told Facebook to pull them, 8 o'clock Monday night, 6 o'clock Monday? What's the point? I mean, how long have they been operating there? 6 months? And all of a sudden, the night before the election, everybody's made up their mind, you're gonna come out on the plank and say, pull them? Give me a friggin' break. I mean, I read this stuff, Kevin, and I'm not saying which side or the other it is. I'm saying, by Monday night, why bother? Is my point.
Well, yeah, and that's a good point. It's one thing on the network side. They should be able to self-censor way, way better than that. I don't know. You know, how do you really solve the social media stuff?
Hey, you know what? Let's enlist our expert, Matty. What is Kevin? There's very peculiar laws regarding political ads. So the second we get back on a big thing, the first thing we're gonna have to sign is I'm gonna have to write a letter to somebody, whoever the hell the somebody is, telling them what our lowest rate is on advertising, and every political hack gets that lowest rate. And God help me, I mean, I've been trying to get some people on since we're a podcast now for the mayoral election, but what, there's 20 swinging bleeps running for this thing, or 18 or something. If I all of a sudden gave Bill Daly an interview and I was on the air, every one of the other 19 could demand just as long as an interview or something like that. There's no way I could do it. And the thing of it is, it's not just me. If we were on 6 to 8, like on pick a station, you know, WFFF, they get to demand time with somebody else later in the day, doesn't even want them. So I'm not sure that you get to say this political ad is too disgusting, I can't put it on. I'm going to say I don't think you can. Can you, Manny?
CNN refused to play it. Fox and NBC both played it over the weekend and then pulled it on Monday after backlash.
Everybody saw it.
So you can refuse to play it.
You can, okay.
On those grounds. Now, what you can't refuse to do is play a commercial for one side and then deny their opponent. You have to allow equal opportunities
for
advertising.
Even if one of the commercials is...
Yeah, so it sounds like you can say, give me a different commercial, I'm not running that one.
Exactly, yep.
Well, you know, when people used to care more about this stuff. You may not have noticed it, Kevin, but I don't know if you're a big fan, but during the 8 years Dutch was in office, you never saw Bedtime for Bonzo on TV. That's true. They couldn't play a Ronald Reagan movie because somebody would have interpreted that as you gave the president 2.5 hours. I want 2.5 hours.
So does that mean the Apprentice reruns can't be shown?
I'm going to say yes.
That's a good question, but I think I certainly haven't seen it. I mean,
I never once watched it in the first place. I don't know why I'd watch the rerun.
I never did either.
You know what? That brings up another question, Kevin. Now, see, I'm always. That's a problem when you get to the state I'm in. I don't know what state that is. Every time somebody says something, it just brings up another question. Confusion. I'm going to say that the rules for cable are different. If The Apprentice was on cable, they probably could play it if they're not a national network.
It wasn't on cable, though.
Was okay. No. All right. Well, then I'm going to stand corrected. But if it was cable, I'm not so sure they play by the same rules, do they, Kevin? Or do they, Manny?
Well, I don't know. What network broadcast that show?
I think it was ABC.
Because ABC owns cable networks. I mean, that's not.
But I'm saying, I mean, if it was on TNT or something like that, I don't. I'm asking. I don't know that the cable.
It was actually NBC, not ABC. Sorry.
Okay. So if it would have been, one of the how many different cable networks does NBC have now? If it had been on
pulling that up right now.
If it had been on one of those,
they have a lot.
Yeah, I'm wondering if maybe you could play it.
They have Bravo. They have Chiller. That would be perfect.
I mean, if we have a listener that knows
CNBC, MSNBC, Sci-Fi Channel, Shop NBC.
Well, I'm going to say if it was on Bravo,
Comcast. They put it on Comcast. That's competition, isn't it?
I'm going to say if it was on Bravo, they probably could play it, just because it's probably undefined. They'd get away with it until somebody stopped them. But if it was on NBC, I don't think you can. That's just one person's history of it. But
okay, well, yeah, and I don't know the answer, so, and nor do I honestly care.
Yeah, me neither. But I mean, that's, the stuff has sort of evolved. I mean, did anybody care if Bedtime from Bonzo was on? No, but
we cared a great deal if Newt Rockne All American was on.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, yeah. But the point is that you see, now he was just a bit player in that, so I don't know. Now, would you have had to give?
I mean, he was the Gipper.
I understand that.
I know it was a small part, but it was like the punchline for the movie.
All right, my question is, if you put on Bedtime for Bonzo, do you owe the other candidate an hour and a half? But if you put on the Gipper, he was only on for 15 minutes. Do you owe him 15 minutes?
I think you, if you go by impact, actually, Bedtime for Bonzo, I think they owed the other candidate an hour and a half, but it had to be with a monkey.
Yeah. Now, was that a chimpanzee or a monkey? Now, chimpanzee.
I have no idea.
Would be very insulted if you called him a monkey. I mean,
I thought a chimpanzee was a monkey.
Well, they don't think so.
Go. We'll just go primate and call it that.
Yeah.
There we go.
You think a gorilla would be happy if you called him a monkey?
I don't know. I've never talked to one.
Oh, there you go.
Kevin, Tom, you called me last night during the basketball game. By the way, the Irish, you gave the final score. It was actually a 36-point game partway through, about midway through the second half, and then they kind of coasted home in the UIC. And UIC's not bad, by the way, but they fouled like crazy. Notre Dame was, get this, 36 of 38 from the free throw line.
Wow.
Well, I called you because whoever.
And Bray said after game you might revoke the scholarships of the two guys that missed.
Yeah. Well, the idea of having Dick Vitale somehow in his crazy voice explaining the outcome of this Kansas thing and how Kansas was exonerated and Bill Self is. I'm sitting there listening to this and I'm going, give me a break. Get this guy off here. I mean, that whole thing, what a fiasco. That was. I explained this to him. We were like five of us at the Tripoli last night watching the game and I go, here's what actually happened, and they go, you got to be kidding me. That the two guys are in federal charges, and the charges were that they somehow made the school look bad because they can't let this kid play? I mean, he goes, what manner of moron put that decision out there? I go, I don't know, I'm just telling you what happened. I mean, so then they're talking about Bill Self had nothing to do with it, and he's outraged that this was all going on, and he didn't know, but I mean, God, Kevin, I mean, could there be anything further from the truth?
Vitale is of the system as it has been, and he is, totally immersed in it and just is incapable of seeing it the other way. Can it be good? Can, the college experience be beneficial for athletes and all that? Yeah. But is that really the issue here? I have two issues. One is that the business model takes advantage of the athletes not having a better choice, and they're about to get another choice, so that's going to help somewhat. But the other one to me is always that you have the adults in the business who make a fortune in as coaches, as athletics administrators, and so on, and everybody else around it. And they all agree to a set of rules and then go out and ignore them. And this is what that's telling me is this is not a sport run by good people across the board. In fact, it's run by a whole lot of disproportionate number of bad people, unethical people, and that's the problem. They have a really good game and a really good sport, and they are and it's run by bad people, and well, that does never end well.
Kevin, look at the if you were to say that in the long run, I can say something. I will. In the long run, we're all dead. Okay. Look at last night. By the way, you know I'm with you on this one. Like, I'm not with you on any other subject. Let's put it that way. Look at last night. Look at the economics of it. I walk in after voting. If that doesn't drive you to drink, I don't know what will. I walk in, and I have a quick sandwich. I look up, and I'm sitting there thinking, my man Kevin, who knows this stuff, you and Maddie, educate me on this all the time. You're going to say that out of all the one-and-dones, some super high percentage have been in four schools. I look up, first night, prime TV, making all the dough, those four schools. And everybody's sitting there glued watching them. And there's two other games down in the place, Sidewash playing Simply Rack, and nobody could care if those people fell in the ocean. And, you know, it's Kansas, Kentucky, North Carolina, Duke are the big teams on last night. Michigan State, I think they're a little straighter. But they've had a lot of one-and-dones in their career, too.
So yeah, I mean, they have their own issues with that program, but yeah. And they've had their one-and-dones. They tend to get guys for 2-3 years before they go.
And so if you look at where the money is, and you look at what we talk about on the air, and you look at the stats that you drag up and Maddie drags up, the rest of the world doesn't care about them. Those are the four best teams. I love those coaches. Let's watch them. And the morals of it, it very much, and I know people probably cringe when I say this, it's not much different than the gladiator fights. You know, this is what we do for circuses and bread and circuses. Give us the dole and we walk out of the football game and we're happy. And, you know, and I honestly think Karl Marx was wrong. He said, what, religion was the opiate of the people? I think it's sports. The thought of anybody in that bar giving a rat's behind about whether these guys take care of these athletes, I got money on the game, I'm watching it, it's fun to watch, I don't care. But I think, am I wrong or not?
You're not.
I wish I was.
You're not at all. But yeah, last night was putting the one and done model on display as a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't begrudge the players. They're, you know, they're just using, you know, working the system the way they have to. And I certainly don't begrudge anybody leaving to make a living after a year. They're going to make phenomenal money, so I don't have any problem with that. Again, I go back to, you know, I don't get Krzyzewski for all of those years. You know, he was the guy who, you know, wouldn't hang a banner until every last player graduated. That, you know, he was going to be the big paragon of the academic and athletic mix, and now he's all in. He's every bit as in as Calipari or as Bill Self or anybody else on that one and done model. So you know, I don't look. He's good. He's a great coach, and he gets great talent. And Duke's kind of fun to watch, but I don't respect it.
Well, he's. I know I'm not going to bring up the big lie, but I guess I already did. It doesn't matter. People still think he's above the fray, even though all the statistics will.
Yeah, no kidding. Because he built that reputation first, and then he's managed to, you know, avoid problems. But when you see the problems that you know have been revealed at other schools, you know, can you really believe that Duke has been immune from it?
Well, no chance.
You know, no. Maybe, but boy, that would be. It seems improbable.
Well, you sent me that. I don't know if Manny tweeted out the interview with Mike Bray, and I'm not, you know, I'm not saying, but Mike Bray said when I came to Notre Dame, they told me to do two things. A, be competitive, and B, don't cheat. Because basically, and he should have said, because we don't want anything messing with the football program, which is really the truth, right?
Has had its problems.
Which has had its problems. But at least basketball, you're not going to see football having a problem because of basketball. I mean,
that is correct.
And he basically said, if we can get the five people that are all the way on the edge of the rules out of the game, it'll be better for the rest of us. And I'm hoping in 5 years we'll be a lot closer to that ideal.
Yeah.
And I'm sure...
And it's interesting because I go back, you had cited this at the beginning of the conversation. The number is 45% of all five-star recruits and 58% of all one-and-dones have gone to five schools.
And they are, I'm going to say, North Carolina?
I don't have the list, but I can probably tell you. It's Duke, it's Kentucky, it's Kansas, it's Arizona. Who am I missing?
North Carolina.
Who?
North Carolina.
No, actually, I don't think so. I don't think North Carolina tends to get guys who are there for a few years. They're sort of like Michigan State in that regard.
All right, Kevin, I got one more. We got a few minutes left. I've had about 15 people in the last 3 days. As you know, I talked to everybody. Give me the story about the market and why the market should go up, because gridlock is good for the market, and go back in history, and every time there's a divided government and they can't do anything. I'm going to say, Kevin, I'm going to lob this one out there categorically, and you and Maddie are never shy about telling me I'm nuts. Neither are the listeners. I'm going to lob that out there. I'm going to say everything you do now, this is with my 37 years in the market, everything you do now, do not rely on any stuff, and again, the guy who likes the past more than anybody, do not rely on any of these statistics in the past. I mean, Dr. J and I stopped doing the calendar stuff, by the Marshall Fields Labor Day and sell it before Thanksgiving. Doesn't work anymore, Kevin. The world somehow is off kilter. Now, whether it's off kilter for a while or forever, I don't know. I don't know that you can, when you power into a future that I see here of trillion-dollar deficits with the economy maybe sputtering in the next year or two, and we've got a tax law that came through that was really, I love parts of it. I was not big on double taxing corporations and dividend people. There's a lot in there I think that made some sense. But the idea that we're just going to throw this money out there, and by the way, the growth will be so much better that we'll end up with more tax receipts, I think that is a Republican non-starter. It's a Republican canard. It's never once been true, ever, 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 despite what they say. It's a total non-truth. It's a total fake news. So now we're in the midst of this greatest economy ever, and we're pushing a $1 trillion deficit. Now, if you had both Republican houses of Congress, my guess would always have been that next year we would have some sort of a tax increase on the regressive side, either a Social Security tax increase or gas tax increase, which we probably need anyway, or something that would get some of the money back, but not from the people that we took it from, be from other people, a la 1982 and Dutch Reagan, which is what he did. Nobody ever forgets that one, because they remember the decrease in 81, they forget about the tax increase in 82. But now with the Republicans not controlling the House, you're not going to get that revenue bill out of the House. So if what that means is, I see gridlock right now. If that's what in fact we have, it's not going to be good for the market if we put $4 trillion or five more on, and say Trump gets elected a second time. In the next 6 years, if we add $7 trillion to the Treasury, that gridlock is not good, Kevin. Not good for the market, not good for you or for me, for anybody. So there's times when gridlock is probably okay. I'm not so sure this is one of them. So don't just listen to some stooge or me. Just, I'm saying, don't bet your ranch on the market because gridlock is good because somebody said it was 40 years ago. It's not 40 years ago. Just saying.
Okay, well, I'll go with that. But yeah, in general, I'm a big fan of gridlock because I think Congress tends to do more harm than good. So if they aren't doing that, it's probably on balance a better thing.
But when you haven't done so much for so long and you've allowed these things to happen, you've allowed this kind of budget, this amount of debt, these amounts of things, the act of just letting it all run for a decade, I don't know if you're there yet, Kevin. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's one thing to say you're not going back to the car. It's quite another if you got it in gear and it's on. You know what I'm saying? You better stop it from going out in the street and killing somebody, which is, I think, where we're at here.
We'll see how it plays out. I think it's a 2 year phenomenon. I don't think it's a long term phenomenon. We'll see what happens at the end.
But right now, 2 years is $2 trillion. That's a lot.
You know, it is.
Yeah.
I'm not arguing with you. You know, trillion here, trillion there starts to add up.
Well, and yesterday we were arguing a little bit, not arguing, discussing that if in fact we have inflation, which is starting to, I'm not the only person saying it now, if we do, raising rates from 2.25 to 2.5 that Trump's all pissed off about, that doesn't begin to cut it, President Bonesburg. You're talking, if you have to actually turn an inflation bus around, the numbers are like 7 or 8, because we've seen it, Kevin. And I hope to God we don't go there, but if we do, if we made that mistake again, which is unconscionable in the same generation, pretty much, I don't know that gridlock is okay here. I mean, right now, I keep trying to find, things that used to work, the statistics of work, and I'm having trouble finding them. People still pontificate about them, but I guarantee you they're not trading them. If they're trading them, they're not doing so hot, because the, whenever I jump, I mean, look at the oil situation. There's always a little something. I mean, Iranian, you know, we're gonna get those guys off the market. Oh, no, we're not. There's 8 countries that can buy it and resell it. Well, who the hell had that piece of paper, Kevin? It seems like there's always something that you're not getting the full information right now. Do they have the idea of both Congresses sitting there for 2 years and everything, and we're going to come out better at the end? I hope your lips to God's here, Kevin, is all I'm saying.
Kevin,
take care of yourself, buddy. We'll talk to you on Friday.
I will do that. You guys have a good day. We'll talk to you Friday.
SP Futures still up 24. We're railing today off the numbers. Come back with Mr. Russell Rhodes. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. It might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com, or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's john@PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Something happening here.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen, Mr. Weber on the board, and Mr. Russell Rhodes on the phone. S&P futures now up 17, Dow up 136, NASDAQ up 64, so down from the highs. Adam up as high as 25, like just before the commercial. Russell, how are you?
I'm doing very well. I'm very happy.
Why? Because you're a leader?
Because I don't have to see J.B. Pritzker at the beginning of any YouTube videos that I watch anymore.
Yeah, he was all over that stuff, wasn't he?
I mean, man, I just want to get to my Rick and Morty. Come on, J.B.
I want to get to my...
His advertising was insane. It was on every
media. It was out of control, and I'm stealing that from one of my students at Loyola. She was like, she told me she needed to miss class to vote, and I said, what, there's an election? And she goes... Hasn't JB gotten all over your YouTube for the past month? I'm like, yeah, I guess there is an election.
Oh yeah, he was all over everything. And then the other guy had the stuff about the toilets.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I have
gotta get around the tax, man. That's what I teach in corporate finance.
By the way, your shining light and inspiration just tweeted out that he had a huge win yesterday. Trump.
Did he have a huge win? I think he had a kiss your sister tie. How's that?
Yeah,
I really do. I think it. I think, if you want to give him a little bit of a win, I think the Senate thing was kind of a surprise. But I think that's the only surprise from last night.
I'm going to say that the Senate thing was only a surprise to people who didn't look at the numbers and how the 34 seats broke down. And how many of them were Republican to start with? There's no way that.
Yeah, no, they just the fact that what was that they actually had a gain. I think that was a little bit of a surprise.
Well, the numbers.
It seems like they won all the close ones.
Well,
I'm surprised that both Missouri and Texas went the way they went.
Well,
I figured one of them would go the other way.
I would, and I'm just saying that you would think. That the way the numbers played out in the last election, out of the 33 seats, it was like 20 some of them were Democrats. So there's no way you're picking up that many if you're a Democrat. I mean, how can you?
Right.
And now this time it was how many of them were? And there's the numbers just weren't there for the Democrats
right. It
to pick
not,
up.
It wasn't two of the 6-year cycle for that side.
No, they're not even. It's not like out of the 34, it's 17-17. But I was kind of stunned. And I want to ask you about we were talking a little bit about polling and everything, but the Wisconsin situation, again, I don't know if that's any more indicative of anything else, but a few weeks ago, the state was somehow singled out to have this poll done because they were getting whacked by tariffs a little more than most states, at least according to some people.
Uh-huh.
And so they went out and did this poll regarding this thing went total Trump last time, basically put him in office. You got the Republican senator, you got the Republican governor, you got all this stuff. Are you upset with your essentially Republican cronies, for lack of a better term, because of the tariffs and everything else? And it virtually, the percentage was overwhelming. Nope, they're doing the right thing. Screw the Chinese, blah blah blah. We can suck one up for the team. It's not good, but it's, you know, if that's what we have to do. And it turns out they overwhelmingly threw all those people out. I mean, I don't know if it means that polling is very different. People don't ask, you know, people don't answer the question the way it's supposed to be answered, or they won't tell you the truth. Whatever it is, there was a disconnect there someplace, because I've never seen a change like that quick in a state, 2 years.
Well, you know, a lot of politics is local.
Well, yeah.
And even if it, you know, and if. You know, even if it's a tariff thing that they agree should be done, you know, maybe there's some local issues that got in there that had people vote in a different way.
By the way,
I'm not that familiar with which
station were you?
Wisconsin.
Which station were you watching? Like, we've been, because Jay Z, our girl Jessica, invited the Gary. What was his last name? Manny last week.
Miles.
Gary Miles talked about, you know, expressing yourself in public and not using Southside epithets like I do. All the things that I do wrong, he basically said you're not supposed to do, which is, you know, I understand that. And we talked about communications. I was flipping through the channels last night, and I landed on one. I have no idea which one. I was on Fox Wild, then I was on NBC. But then I tried all the Chicago stations, and all I could hear was Pritzker talking. He must have talked. How long did the guy talk? 4 hours? I mean, wherever I turned the station, he was talking, because I didn't want to listen to him. So I ended up on some station. I'm guessing it was a liberal station, but I don't know. What's her name was on it? Stephanie Ruhle. So what station is that? I don't even know.
She's MSNBC now.
All right. Well, that's where I was. So
yeah,
they've got this guy and this lady, and the lady's pretty bright. Well, they had this African American lady who used to be a representative, and now I don't know what else she does. Very, very bright, and then there was a guy who I thought was conservative because he looked like he played football without a helmet, and he turned out being something. He turned out he was just as intense. It's like a conservative guy, only he was liberal. I'm like, where did this guy come from? Anyway, so they asked this lady, and Gary would have been absolutely, he would have given her an A+, and I'm wondering what you would have done, Professor. I'm not leading the witness. They said, okay, well, we've got these committee chairs, and we've got, you know, somebody head of Ways and Means, and some other guy in Fed or something. And they go, and Maxine Waters, chairman of the banking committee. Now, you drop this on this African-American lady. Russell, Maddie, I tell you what, if I had the dough, I don't know what she costs, I'd hire her tomorrow to do something. She goes, well, she drops right into the guy from whoever he is. Maybe see if you can find who's going to be new head of the Ways and Means Committee. He goes, he is one of the up-and-coming stars. The guy's drop-dead brilliant. He's probably the guy, you're not going to move him for anybody because he deserves to be the lead dog in the pack, intellectually, in terms of personality, everything. I mean, I don't know what
Kevin
he is.
Brady?
I don't know who the hell he is, but
yeah, United States House Committee on Ways and Means.
What, and where's he from?
He's the chairman since 2015, Republican.
No, I'm talking about the guy the Democrat's going to take over. So who's the ranking Democrat?
Richard Neal.
Yeah,
that's who you're talking about.
Yeah,
I'll find out where he's from.
And so then she got to the second person, and she kept an eye right on the guy who was giving the late breaking reports, and she clouded up the thing. Just until the guy broke in, and she never had to address Maxine Waters. And I knew right out of the gate that that's what the question was all about. How can you possibly let Maxine Waters be the chairman of the banking committee? And she never got there, never had to say a word. She was special. Just special.
Yeah, Richard Neal's the, out of Massachusetts, and he won.
Yeah, okay, so she was, I never saw she had it timed perfectly, Russell. Absolutely perfectly. Mm-hmm. It's like if I ask you four questions, what do you think of the weather? What do you think of where you live? And what do you think of your wife? You got 2 minutes. Oh, I'm running out of time. I can't tell you about my wife. Oops.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
We'll get to that next time.
Yeah, get to that next time. And by the way, there won't be a next time.
You're not listening.
But I mean, I thought she was, I listened to this going, and on the fly, that was really good. Boy, Gary would have given her an A+, just an A+. Because I think the Democrats are not real happy with the amount of abuse she's taken or having her in that kind of spot. But I don't know how you move her.
Yeah. You know, and I don't think, especially now, I don't think they're going to be able to maybe sway her behavior.
No.
There are a few, you know, there are just a handful of folks that are in positions where they can pretty much say whatever they want and they're going to be okay. Trump for the next 2 years at least. And, you know, I think Maxine Waters is one. I saw where she got basically declared winning with 1% of the vote before California had even closed.
Well, there were. I've been going through it. I don't know if you've been listening, but I've been. I got myself a couple of websites. As if I don't have enough websites to aggravate myself. I went to one here where the, you know, this guy's got a 99-1 chance of winning. This guy, and then I'm going through how much money they're all raising. What district are you in? Just out of curiosity.
Who, me? Roscomb.
So he's okay. He lost. He raised.
And I'm. And you know what? And I'm okay with that. I've never been a big fan there.
What's he, seven? Or is he six? He's six.
He's six. Yeah, I'm gerrymandered into six.
Oh, they're all Georgia.
I moved a few blocks. My guy was Bobby Rush for a while when I was in Hinsdale.
Isn't that special that somehow he... Isn't that special?
Yes, he was representing me.
Yeah, he was representing you. The I'm actually stunned at how much money Roscomb got from... By the way, well, here's one. He's got to be one of you. You've got to be one of
one
the...
One of me? What of me?
Yeah, you've got to be... It says large individual donors. It has to be you.
Oh, okay.
Because he is...
Go find me.
he has large individual donors are high, and his small people are... He's like, he raised $6 million. $3 million was large individual donors, and $3 million was a PAC, or PAC contributions. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of dough. But the guy ran against him at $5.3 million he raised, but he put $630,000 of his own cash in, which is kind of a lot for a $250,000 job.
That's an awful lot. Not as much as JB, but...
But he got like zero... Did the Democrats think that he couldn't win? They gave him like no PAC money. He got like $300,000.
Who, JB?
No, Sean Caston, the guy who won in your...
Oh, Caston? I don't know. Maybe he didn't need it.
So there's $6 million in your district, one percenters like you, that came up with money for these two guys. Who the hell are those people giving these guys that kind of dough? And what are they expecting to get back?
They've got an agenda. I have no agenda.
Well, who's the guy next to you?
I gave no dough. I've given money to one, well, myself, when I ran for office, and I have a cousin down in Louisiana who came in fourth for Congress, and I gave him money, and that was it.
You're one of these guys pushing people out of state, one of those dudes.
Yeah, that's right, and he was a Democrat, so stop it with the you guys stuff.
Yeah, hey, I got a question for you. If you can answer this one, you're...
I can answer anything. I don't work at SIBO anymore.
Well, the reason why I ask is this morning on the way in, I was waiting for Maddie out and back. I was going to equate people giving you money to sex, but I probably won't go there. But in some ways, it's sort of very similar. Let me see what I'm saying about that before Maddie shuts me off. When you take money from people, what do you think? I'm looking at this guy, Raja. I don't even try to do his last name. Now, he's got all kinds of law firms and people ponying up money for him. Now, Kirkland Ellis gives him... $115,000, UCA Group, LAR 27, AAR Corp 20, Harvard University gave him $18,000. I'm not sure why. Exelon Corp $18,000. Now my question to you is: health professionals $571,000, lawyers, law firms $400,000, securities investment $200,000. I'm going to ask you if PTI was three times as big, and we ponied up $20,000 for this guy, like we're Kirkland and Ellis. Well, no, they're 115. We wouldn't give him 115. What does the average person, and where I'm going with the sex thing is when you were younger, and let's just say when before a lot of diseases, sex was a little more out there to be had, shall we say? And
yes, it was.
But you never really
you could shag rotten.
Well. Let's put it this way. I was always a little nervous because I never really know what was going through the other person's mind. What did they think about it? I never want to hurt anybody. So you never really knew if you were just a good looking and I do that tongue in cheek booty call or whether you're going to wake up and see their stuff in your closet and yours on the floor. Am I right? But I'm guessing when you take money from these people, how do you ever really know? Or if you're Bill Clinton, you don't care, but I could never be Bill Clinton. How do you really know what they expect back? It's like taking money from the mob. I mean, somebody gives me a $20,000 check.
They're going to come back for a favor.
But how do you, some people will. Russell, I mean, I'm asking you, I'm sounding like I'm berating you. I mean, some people will say, if Russell's the governor, all I want is him to take my phone call and listen to me for 5 minutes. I'm just getting access. And I'm going to say, at some level, That's bull bleep. I want him to vote my way.
No, because you know what? Let's do the hypothetical Russell's governor on his way to the penitentiary of Illinois. And you gave me $100,000, and let's say that they're getting ready to finally, you know, they're pushing on a tax on all the trades that are done by the millionaires and billionaires at the Chicago exchanges.
Yeah, yeah.
And you give me a call, which is going to have a negative impact on you. It would have a negative impact on what I do as well. But instead, I'm governor, and you've given me some money, and you call me up, and you talk to me about it, and I say, well, Chief, I just don't agree with you. The next thing out of your mouth is, do you know how much money I gave you? Or I'm sure not going to give you money next time around. Don't expect my support next time around, or something like that. And that's just a human nature thing.
Well, you know? But that sounds
like... When I was on the school board, if somebody sent me an email to disagree with me, I had tons of people tell me, and don't expect me to vote for you next time. And my response was, I had a canned response to this. I was, please don't. I'm not running anyway. Who would want this thankless, no-paying job?
I'm not so sure that's the response you're supposed to give, by the way.
I mean, those people would threaten me with their vote, you know? They're going to care less about. But that's going to be the next thing out of your mouth. Did you know how much money I gave, you know?
Well, I'm saying...
And it should be, because you expected something for your... $100,000.
Or the reason why I ask is mm-hmm. you can't. One thing I've learned, or try to learn, as you get older, you can't project what you think onto somebody else. Now, mm-hmm. what I learned is my uncle, who was detective of the Cook County Police, and he knew every mobster there was. He'd have breakfast with mm-hmm. these guys, and I'd say, Al, what are you doing? And he'd go, your grandpa told me long ago, don't be afraid to socialize. Just never take a dime. If you're not involved money wise, mm-hmm. they're just guys you're having breakfast with, but so for me, taking money from somebody it means that, you know, it means could mean a lot of things. But until I pay it back, I'm not my own man, you know. Mm-hmm. And yet these guys, some people seem to have the personality. It's just politics. I took $20,000 checks from 50 people. I don't know these people squat. I mean, I guess I'm asking you because you get out more than I do. How wrong am I? I mean, how these other guys, obviously, what can this guy do? What is he going to do for Kirkland and Ellis for $115,000? And what does Kirkland and Ellis expect? It can't just be pick up the phone.
Whatever their profit center is, and I don't know, but whatever their profit center is, they're protecting it.
Well, what,
you know,
is
like,
a, is
you
a,
know, like, There used to be a county downstate that you could, if you wanted to sue somebody over a financial crime, it was like the best place to go.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
but it's that type of thing. You know, if Kirkland and Ellis does a bunch of class actions, and I don't know, but if they do, they want to make sure that the laws don't change where class actions become more difficult to do because it's a big profit center for them. There's some sort of profit center that they are trying to protect, and by having access to people in power, they will be able to do that. And I think that's just, again, you know, for lack of a better way to put it, it just is what it is. That's just the system that we live under, and I don't agree with it, but that's just the way it is.
Well, to be specific,
and
Russell,
it's impossible for anybody that is truly altruistic and wants to do good by being in office, you get elected.
Well, let's throw this little pearl out there as well. Actually, I don't know what the Supreme Court thing. I should know all this crap, but I don't. You see, and I was going by somebody's yesterday, and every company gave them $10,000. Is that still a max for a corporation?
I don't think so.
Well, here, when I say Kirkland and Ellis,
I mean, there are all kind of ways to get around it.
Right, when I say Kirkland and Ellis, I'm saying total $115,650. Okay, but who gave individuals in Kirkland and Ellis?
Every individual gave whatever the maximum
was.
The $2,300 or whatever.
Right, now in a UCA group, I don't know who those guys are, $27,000, all given by individuals in the UCA group. Mm-hmm. Now, is that tax deductible to those individuals? I think it is, isn't it? Or I'm not sure.
I'm not really sure.
Right, here's another one for you.
Political donations are. I don't make them.
As a professor, Harvard University, 18-6. individuals from Harvard University were the full 18-6. Who the hell are they hitting up there?
That's just professors.
As a professor?
I don't think the 18-6 coming from Harvard is really somebody trying to get some sort of... I don't think there's something behind that.
All right, so next question is, what does... I'm going to say the guy's bright. I don't even know him from Adam. What does what can a, up until yesterday, a minority party representative, part of the 200 people that are out, what can that guy do for you?
Not a whole lot.
What can that guy do for Harvard University?
Not very much. I mean, I'm sure that back when there was a little bit more horse trading and things weren't as partisan, they could do a little bit more, but not a whole lot right now. But the other thing is, I think if you're in it for the long game, you know that the power is going to sway back and forth.
Well, it looks like he's on the Education Committee. That might be a reason. He's on Oversight Committee, and he's on Oversight and Government Reform Committee. So clearly he's got some powerful committee spots, but you're a minority. Not anymore, but maybe you're doing it on the come. I don't know if he's going to be a...
And even if you're in the minority and, these bills get written in committee, you got to have some influence over things that get included or things that get pulled out. The thing in our business that comes up periodically is increasing taxes one way or another on transactions or changing the rules around, what you can do in your retirement account. And, our industry lobbies the heck out of people in D.C. on both sides.
Well,
I know for a fact,
right,
because they would come visit the exchange and I would see them. And it's been the same issues that have come up whether, the Democrats were in control or the Republicans are in control. And then the issue seems to get dropped after a month or two.
Well, he used to start a lot of those as Rostenkowski. When the exchanges weren't pony, get over this, Matty. When the exchanges weren't ponying up enough money, he would have some scrub down in South Carolina or someplace introduce a transaction tax, more for the Board of Trade than the CBOE. And, and all of a sudden everybody beat your underwear are totally on fire. What are we gonna do? We gotta call Danny, we gotta kill this and start paying money to Rostenkowski and to, Patton, Boggs, and Blow at the time. And you gotta kill the thing. That the guy actually started just to get you upset. It's an odd world, but
happened when I was at SIBO for about a year, and I started freaking out about it. And Jim Bittman took me aside, and he goes, "Look, this always happens. It always gets killed. Don't worry about it. Go back to work."
Yeah, basically.
And he was right, and that lesson learned.
Well, we paid when I was on the board of the SIBO. I think we paid. Actually, I saw him. I saw that he died a couple years ago. Remember Tommy Boggs?
Yeah.
The man was absolutely a master. I was talking about the lady on TV last night. This dude would come, and if there was a cocktail party for the board and the bigger members and whatever, and there'd be 50 people there. This dude, he'd have a drink in his hand because he had like two or three to go every night. So it wasn't like he was swollen the drinks. So he's wobbling at the last engagement. He'd always have a drink. His pinky was always up, always had the pinky ring. He'd come to every single crowd. If you're sitting there, you and I and Thomas are BSing about something, he'd walk over, introduce himself, make sure you knew him. If it was three or four guys, it would be some slightly off-color joke. Not horrible. You see what happened in a men's room at the House of Representatives, that kind of thing. Then if there was a lady there, it would always be a much nicer joke. But you would remember him. He would see every single person in the room. And I'm going to say if there was 60 people, it probably took him, if he was over 30 minutes, he was pissed. And he was on, put his drink down. He'd drink maybe two swips out of it. And he had his cab waiting or whatever, and he's on to the next function. He was an absolute master at it. But those guys would get, in those days, 10 grand a month. From how many places would you get? Guess, Russell, 40 places? Just to quote, keep their eye on any, and they had a huge staff, zeroed into the Washington committees. And if Thomas gets hired as a clerk, and all of a sudden he stuck into a bill, something about the CBOE, these guys' job was to know about it the next morning and immediately call over there and say, "Hey, what did your guys stick in this bill? Get it the hell out of there. These are our clients, right?" I mean, their job is to just watch and make sure anything that might affect you, that you know about it. And then what you do about it afterward and whether you hire him to do more is another story, but it's a total game to watch for your interest, right? I mean, the auto companies, every single committee, is anything going on one of those bills that's going to affect, is there a mileage issue? Is there a tire issue? Is there a pothole issue? Whatever might affect us, we at least need to know about it. And they hire, it's all knowledge, right? And then to go from there to changing it, then the rent goes up, right, Russell?
Yeah. Yeah. No, unfortunately, it's the system that we live within, which it can be very discouraging, but it's also just our reality.
But now, he was the son of Hale Boggs, who was in from Louisiana forever, so it's going to be much easier for him to get in there than it wouldn't have been Tom Weber. Tommy Weber. It wouldn't have been Tommy Rhodes either. You know, I mean, it would not. I mean, these guys, they come from. You know, that was my big bitch against Kavanaugh. He's one of those guys. You know, and I've had enough of those guys. That's just me. Doesn't mean he's a bad guy. Doesn't mean he's going to be a bad judge. It just means, you know, whatever. You know, I feel the same way about a lot of them because some of them are fine. You know, so many of them maybe not so, but that's just me. Because we haven't been invited in, and nobody I've ever known has been invited in. So I guess
I know what it takes to be invited in. I've got a buddy that ran for governor a few times ago and came in like second or third in the primary. I asked him what it took to run for Congress, and he said, "Well, you got to show up with at least a quarter million of your own money and another quarter million of people that'll back you."
Yeah, you're giving money to the party now. Yeah, the party doesn't pick you out and say, "Russell's a bright guy. Here's some cash." It's the other way around.
No, so.
Well, you think SP futures up 17? Be right back. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello, everybody. It's Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holley. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. SP Futures now up 20. We've been going back and forth between 25 and 20. At 17, we're kind of in the middle. Dow Futures up 164. And we got the NASDAQ is up 71. So we're off to a rally. I think everybody's somewhat happy with the way, things landed pretty much the way people thought. I don't know that the details are what people thought and, the governorships and stuff, but I think it's, everybody's somewhat happy with the situation. I don't know who the everybody is, but the market seems to be. If you go by the gridlock is good theory, which I don't necessarily buy this time, but time will tell. And it sounds like I've never been wrong before. DAX up 95.8%, FTSE up 81.1%, CAC around up 61.2%. So European markets like the fact that we managed to make it through an election with everything functioning properly, nobody getting killed, no resorts, no revolts, everything seemingly democracy is working, it appears. Nikkei down 61.3%, Shanghai down 18.7%, Hang Seng up 26.1%, so not much going on in the Hang Seng. Oil up 58 cents, West Texas, Brent up 90 cents. That spread is now $10.30, so it's moved out a little bit. Natural gas 3.54%, and we've seen some of the companies in the oil patch doing very well in the last few days because natural gas going up and some not doing so well because oil's going down. So you can sort of tell by stock movements in the last week what stocks have a little more of gas in their inventory than regular oil. RBOB is now unchanged at 169. Gold was up earlier. It's still up 710. Silver up 17 cents. So silver looking like it's making a run towards 15. It's 1468. We'll see if that goes on. Copper up 2 cents, but still nowhere near that $3 number that people like to look for expansion in third world countries and or any kind of developing country. 275 is not showing a lot of expansion there. Matty, what do you got for us, Trevi Weather Sports?
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We're off to a relatively good start this morning compared to the rain that we've had the last couple of days. We do have a crash on 394 on the south side northbound just before Glenwood Dyer Road. That's causing stop-and-go traffic on the northbound side, so keep that in mind. But no issues on the Dan Ryan, I-57, or the Bishop Ford, just normal heavy traffic volumes for this time of morning. Same with the Stevenson. Eisenhower and Kennedy are our slowest-moving expressways, but no accidents to report. Edens looks okay. Suburban tollways are all quiet. Off the expressways, it looks like we have a crash at Geneva Road and President Street out near Wheaton in the western burbs. And then just over the Illinois-Indiana border on the Indiana side, 8094 westbound before Indianapolis Boulevard, there was an earlier crash that just became clear, but some resulting congestion from that on 8094. That's heading toward Illinois on the Illinois side. On the Indiana side, I should say. Everything else looking okay out there. Weather today, lots of clouds early, and then we'll see a little bit of sunshine, but it'll be cold and blustery today. A high of just 43 with wind chills in the low 30s, just how we like it. Right now, it is overcast and 36 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny with a high of 82. Right now, it's clear and 60. In sports, as we touched on in hour one, the Blackhawks fired longtime coach Joel Quenneville yesterday morning. Three-time Stanley Cup winner, second-time all-time winningest coach, or second all-time winningest coach in NHL history. Joel Quenneville fired after 11 seasons with the club and 10 as the head coach. They hired Jeremy Colleton, promoted him from the AHL job. He will become the youngest head coach in the NHL at age 33. He'll make his debut tomorrow night. The Coyotes were off last night. NBA basketball, Bulls were off. Suns lost to Brooklyn 104-82. And college hoops is officially underway last night. A lot of people watched the Champions Classic in Indianapolis. We touched on it in hour one. But Notre Dame was in action too. They blew out UIC 84-67. And Kevin said the score wasn't even that close. And Loyola with a 31-point win over UMKC after they hung their Final Four banner last night. Chief.
The game was not as close as the score would indicate.
That's right.
Huh.
What do you think of that line, Russell? It's an old one, huh?
I love that line.
Yeah. Hey.
Basically, you know, there's always a winner. I got to tell you, I was out at Loyola. I was at the North Campus because I'm a professor there, and they were really doing things up in preparation for the first game back. So. And it's actually kind of nice to actually see students at Loyola wearing things that say Loyola instead of like Big Ten schools and stuff.
Absolutely. By the way, all indications of Northwestern's new arena, the renovated Welsh Ryan Arena, is that it's spectacular.
What I've heard.
It looks really. I've seen pictures of it. It looks awesome.
I heard the football field absolutely sucks, but that the.
Yeah, I wonder if the football field will be next.
I thought they just did that.
No, it's. I mean, I haven't been there.
They renamed it.
I was there 2 years ago. You know, they renamed it like 20 years ago. I was there like 2 years ago, and it was a dump then. So unless they did something last year, which I don't think they have. But the basketball arena, they played at Allstate last year in Rosemont and completely renovated that arena. It now has regular seats all across the board. It just looks much nicer. New facility completely.
Hey, I got a question that I think you guys will probably have a better answer than because I don't have an answer to it.
Wait a minute, you're a professor.
Why didn't Northwestern play Notre Dame in Soldier Field last weekend and make some more money off of it?
They've done that before.
I got silent.
They've done that before, so I don't.
I know they have.
I think
curious about that.
I think that was one of the Notre Dame home games they like to play on the road. The last one they did, maybe.
Uh-huh.
They do the one. This year, they're playing Syracuse.
So that was a Notre Dame home game.
Yeah, basically. this they're playing Syracuse in the Yankee Stadium this year.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. Nathan, there was a...
No, I know a Domer that wanted to go to that game and couldn't get tickets, and then they looked into just buying season tickets from Notre Dame or from Northwestern instead, and they had jacked those tickets as well just to make some money off of that game. Just seems to me if that was part of the goal, maybe you should have played it in a bigger place. Maybe you played it at Wrigley Field. They've done that before, too. But I was just curious why. It just seemed like it would have made sense.
Well, it was Northwestern's.
And I'm always thinking about the business end of things.
Well, it's Northwestern's game. So, I got to believe they made more there. I'm sure those tickets were higher priced. I'm not sure, but I suspect. I'm gonna say they did pretty well at home. What does the place hold?
They're smart people. I'm sure they had a reason for it.
Well, what does the place hold, Benny? Allegedly.
I'm going to look it up. I want to guess around 35 or 40,000.
That's all?
Yeah, it's not much. That's the whole reason. It's probably the smallest Big Ten stadium.
It's definitely the smallest Big Ten stadium.
Yeah.
Let me get the actual capacity.
It looks like a Texas high school stadium.
47,000.
Okay. Well, that's...
So
that's
I guess 40, it's a little more than that. 47,000.
Okay.
Well, the Irish were 59 for years before they expanded it. I have one for you though. Here's a question. We could have a pool. I'm going to say Saturday night's game against Florida State in the cold and the wind, which it's supposed to be. I'm going to say it would cost. I'm going to say at least $500 to get me there.
Oh, to get you down there?
Yeah.
And you'll sit for the whole game?
I can understand.
I was just going to say, if I had to sit for the whole game, it might be $750.
I think I could do a little better than that. I have to drive there and sit for the whole game.
Yeah.
I would do that for about $400, but not a dollar less.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's. And you'd think you got stiffed if the game's one sided and it's 5 minutes to go and they're still playing commercials.
That's the worst.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah. I've got a guy on the Craigslist is willing to sell their Notre Dame Florida State tickets for $130 each, which is fake. There you go.
I think you should message the man saying recreational marijuana is not legal yet.
Yeah. So
Because that's what would it take.
Does that come with a flask to keep me warm?
It better come with a parking pass at the Joyce Center, and something other than that. I mean, it's got to be. That's scary. I mean, anyway. So.
I'm not surprised. I mean,
so Russell, what do you predict?
Outside like that, that's brutal. That's what TV's for.
Yeah. What do you predict? In terms of the market's up today because it could always have been worse, I guess, for the president. What do you predict in terms of, the gridlock market? Okay, everybody says it's supposed to be a strong market. I don't know. I mean, all your revenue bills are supposed to come out of the House. Somebody last night was saying, what can the House do given who you have as president and the Senate? It says, what we're going to do is just start putting out bills like we're supposed to do. And if they land with a thud, they land with a thud. But at least we're going to do what we're supposed to do. Now, who knows if they'll actually do that or not? But Kevin will say that there have been normal bills that have come through. Like there's been nothing. He's right about that, I'm sure. But
yeah,
I got to believe that that not much has really happened in these last couple of years. We had the tax cut bill, and not much since. I'm sure there has been bills, but it seems like there's a lot of stuff. Can you think these guys can just let this deficit go the way it is for 2 years without doing something? If it keeps expanding?
Yeah, I think they probably will. They probably I don't know if they get to the point of an impasse where we get a threat of a shutdown, like we've had before. But I severely doubt that anything major is going to get done in the next couple of years. Because there's too much bad blood. There's no bridging the gap between the White House and the House of Representatives. And if anything, if they follow through with what they've been saying, they're going to spend a lot of time holding hearings and questioning all the criminal activity that's going on in the White House.
Yeah, I think that's going to...
That's where there's only a finite amount of time that they can spend on things, and if that's going to be their number one priority, not a lot of other stuff's going to get done.
All right, let me run this one by you. I'm going to say, why do all my, some of my examples all have to do with men and women? Nobody hates each other at some point more than people getting divorced, right? Pretty much.
Yeah.
And so much so
I think that's probably the number one.
When John's wife, the lovely Bridget, was in divorce court, thankfully she wasn't there very long, she didn't like it very much, she said she got this survey in her own mind that no matter how much money you had, poor or rich, getting divorced, that you basically pissed away 40 to 45% of your money before you sat down and said, I don't really like you anymore. But if we don't come to some sort of a decision here on some stuff, we're going to be broke, and you sort of have to sit down no matter how bad it is, even if you have to put a wall on the table so you don't knife each other. I'm going to say that if we're a national debt now, I've got it looking at the debt clock, 21.7. Carl says it's actually higher than that if you look at the some different numbers he looks at. So let's say that's right. Say it's 22 trillion. If that number 2 years from now is 24, which it looks like it's going to be if nothing happens, and you start running an interest rate up another 2%, which looks like it's going to happen in the long term for sure, you're talking $440 billion a year in interest. I'm going to say, as much as the Democrats and Republicans don't like each other right now, that's a cause for a sit-down, Russell. I mean, if it isn't, then we really have to question our system of government. I don't know how they can just let that one run. I mean... And yet, you're right. It's not going to happen tomorrow. But how do we get from there to here? I mean, something somewhere has to happen. I don't think we're on autopilot right now. Matter of fact, I think just the opposite. I mean, this group is going to have to talk somehow. Now, the midterm election where he got his ass absolutely kicked made Clinton a much better president, and he actually did way better afterward. Is there any chance of Trump having like a Clinton moment?
No.
You think not? I thought that of Clinton too, but
I don't think he thinks he got his butt kicked, for one. And even if he had, I don't think he would think that he got his butt kicked.
Well,
so No, I don't think there's anything that's going to make him budge on being who he is.
I mean, Clinton Clinton actually sat down with Newt Gingrich, and they did some stuff.
My wife and I were talking about the welfare reform that kind of came out of a lot of that, and how one party could do that and another party couldn't, just because of the perception. But yeah, I mean, I think there were a lot of things that came from Clinton actually reaching across and trying to work with the other side. Reagan did the same thing, and I think some good things came out of that. Trump is not a Reagan or a Clinton type of politician.
Well, Reagan, I would say to Tip O'Neill, because I heard Tip speak, and actually heard the guy after him, Tom Foley, who came right after Tip. Tip genuinely liked Reagan. They liked each other. I don't know if they ever did, because you don't see the president out too much, but they could easily have been drinking buddies.
I've heard that they would be. That, you know, they'd come over to the White House and they'd, you know, I've read the Reagan diaries, and they would get together and, you know, they would kind of agree on something they wanted to get done, and Reagan would say, okay, I'm going to get enough of my guys on board, and it's your job to get enough of your guys on board. And that's how they apparently worked together. The thing is, I just don't see Trump sitting down with Nancy Pelosi.
No, it's a tough one.
You know, I don't even know if they've. I'll bet you the last time they were ever in the same room or in the same space was around the inauguration.
I'm sure they're there at the State of the Union. I was going to say.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I remember Tip O'Neill saying, "Reagan, if you shook hands with the guy, you had a deal." He goes, you shake hands with Clinton, it's like the deal's just starting. The next morning, he's saying something else. He goes, Clinton was real hard to work with, and he was in my own party. You know, he said Reagan had his views, but if there's 10 things you guys could never discuss, there were always 5 things that you both felt the same way, and at least you could knock off the 5.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think in a lot of cases, I mean, no matter who it is, if you're politically or whatever, all right, look, we can't. I was watching, I don't watch that much anymore, but not the accidental president, the one where Sutherland's playing, where they blew everybody up and he was the designated survivor.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the political parties are at him because he has to put a new Supreme Court together. And of course, the parties are at each other's throat. Who's going to get the 9th vote? You know, talk about the same as now, right?
The swing vote.
So one of the ladies that was his advisor, and she actually was sad in the show because she's had early onset Alzheimer's, and this is going to be her last. She says, I'll tell you what. She came up with this. Let's just put 4 apiece on the Supreme Court, because the guy's got, I don't know, whatever he had, 3 years left in his term.
Yeah.
And she said, we'll leave the 9th guy to see who wins the next election, because people keep saying this guy shouldn't be there because he was the director of housing and whatever, urban development or some crap, and he agreed to it because he said there's something like 200 cases before the Supreme Court, and he goes probably 20 of them are going to need the 9th vote, but the other 180, let's get rid of them. I mean, most of the time it's not, well, maybe it seems to the only one you read about it, a 5-4 decision. He goes, at least let's get the other ones there. People are waiting for them. You know, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that sort of has to happen, that even if Trump and Pelosi can't stand each other, there's general government that has to happen. You would think they would at least be able to take care of that. I mean, everything is not a Roe versus Wade. A lot of it's just agricultural bills. It's transportation bills. I mean, there ought to be a way to get together on that stuff. Every one of these things isn't some huge fight, your guys against our guys. At least they shouldn't be. And whether they all are or not, I don't know.
But it is.
But it is, it seems to be.
Where we are.
But that's,
you know? And it's,
well, is that the impression, Russell, or is that the reality of it?
I think that's the reality of it.
So you think, on the
you've got the Democrats saying they're going to start investigate, and I think I saw in passing on Twitter where Trump said, well, I'm just going to investigate you guys for leaks as well.
Well, The question is, last night when I was listening to, when I don't know which station I was on, that the House can demand his tax returns from the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
They have subpoena power to the IRS, so it's not Trump coming up with them. It's the IRS coming up with them. Yeah. Now if he wants to fight that one, then he's got to go to court. That's going to be a tough call. Now, I don't want to see us get buried and stuff like that, but actually, what you said...
I think we're going to get buried and stuff
okay.
like that.
Okay. Well, my question to you, though, Professor, do you really think that if six Republicans and six Democrats are sitting in a room hacking away at the next agricultural bill, that there's animosity in that room, or you think those 12 guys can say, hey, look, both sides can agree on the... And crop insurance program, at least get this done. I mean, do you honestly think that they're fighting on a daily basis?
No. Now, that's probably the one area that that there might be some ability to work together. And it's just because there's so little turnover in the Senate, and these people have worked together for so long, that I actually think that's the one body of government that might be able to bridge some of the problems.
I mean, if you think on, say, the Armed Services Committee, you got five guys or women on each side of the table.
People on each side.
Every, should we buy these bullets from Weber Bullet Factory? And five guys say yes, and five guys say no. I mean, I hope it's not that pervasive, even on normal crap, is it? I mean, I don't know. I'm asking.
No, I do think that the Senate probably is, anything that gets done will probably come out of the Senate.
You think so?
And yeah, I mean that's got to be where it emanates from, because there's just too much. You don't see senators up in arms talking about investigating the president. It usually is people from the House.
Well, but you also
I guess by nature the people from the House have a less diverse base and don't have to worry about being middle of the road type people as much as senators do.
Oh, I agree.
Well, yeah, so I can totally see that being a function. Just like, you know, the first half hour, I said that Maxine Waters was declared the winner with less than 1% of the vote in. She
probably was unopposed.
She can basically say anything that she wants, and she's going to get reelected.
Well,
same thing with Nancy Pelosi. So, whereas senators, with some exceptions, or, you know, if there are at least enough senators that are from states that could go either way, that you get those guys in a room together and maybe they can work some things out.
Yeah, except if you're elected for a 6-year term, you can say whatever you want, even in this era of media.
For four years of it. Get on board for two.
And even in this era of media, nobody wants to listen to what you said 6 years ago. I don't think. I just, you know.
No, everybody has short memories as well.
But you are correct. The one lady last night, and I don't know what station I was at. Somebody said, "Why do they really want Trump's tax returns?" She said, "Well, the thing that has a lot of people concerned now, you know, who the hell a lot of people are and whatever, is that with all his business dealings and even his campaign, he never took a loan from a bank. Now, never is a long time. I find it hard to believe, but he obviously has loans from somebody." And if it turns out all the loans are from Russian oligarchs, some people have a problem with it.
Something like that, yeah.
And
I think some of them are.
I think some of them are, too. But now, again, I don't know if you listened to the first part of the show with Kevin, and even the part we talked about with you, what do people expect? Now, is the Russian oligarch, as long as Trump's on the easy payment plan and Trump Jr. is making the payments, is everything okay, or is the guy still pulling the string? I mean, you never really know. I mean, you'd rather it not happen, but people get lonesome people. I mean, how much strings are they pulling? How much do you really own? I'd be a little nervous if it was a Russian mafioso dude, just because it's me. But I also know that when the casinos gave loan, or the Central States Teamsters gave loans to Stardust and Caesar's Palace and those places, I happen to know somebody who did a lot of audits on those things and said they were by far their best performing loans. They paid them all back. So, you know, it's hard for people to really know what's in somebody else's mind, I think. I mean, I'd rather it not be, but does that mean he's co-opted every single day of the presidency? I don't know if I could make that reach, would you? And I'm not a Trump fan at all, but I don't think the first thing in the morning is, what does the oligarch want me to do? I, I don't think so. I mean, no, but where's the middle on that? I mean, the guy, probably there's some roads you don't want to go down.
Yeah.
But, you know, how can anybody even know what the middle is? Is it a cause for impeachment? I'd say no. Is it something that should have been disclosed? And or did he ever say that they weren't lonesome, these guys? Now, that's another story. I don't know the answer to that. Do you?
No. I mean, attempting impeachment is just going to be the biggest waste of money.
Oh, I would agree. I would agree.
You know, so, it just basically will be something that is done for show. And I really hope they don't waste a couple of
you
weeks
know what
of,
though.
Of
I'm going to say, Russell, we got to go, but I'm going to say nobody's run afoul of this emoluments thing like he has. Let's talk about that next time. SP Futures up 20, Dow Futures up 161. Back tomorrow, Stacks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.